The East Asian country of Mongolia is home to a unique form of singing. It's a deep-throated, otherworldly style called throat singing. A hip-hop group in Mongolia meshes throat singing with long song. Long song is the haunting music of the grasslands. The band sets this combination of throat singing and long song to a dance beat, and it injects a nationalistic message. The band is Black Rose. The World's Mary Kay Magstead talked with the group's leader. She sent us this report from the Mongolian capital of Ulaanbaatar.
This is the title track of Black Rose's newest CD called Skies Down. It opens with a traditional Mongolian long song. This is the music of vast open spaces and big blue skies. It's the music of Mongolian nomads calling out across the grasslands, soothing their horses and their herds of yaks. The words speak of the legend of Mongolians being born from a blue wolf and a deer. But then, the music changes. Gravelly voice belongs to Amra Mandak, Black Rose's leader and founder. It's a deliberate echo of traditional Mongolian throat singing. The best throat singers can sing two or even three notes at once. But Amra, as he's known, admits he's had no formal training.
If
you really want to do it properly and very good level, then you should really have a teacher who would train you. If you do it in proper way, you may damage yourself and your throat. But when people were saying, warning me that I shouldn't be teaching myself because it may damage in later period, I didn't believe them. No, that's not true. And I could sing in a higher pitch. But since I started doing this, my voice changed really. So I can't do high pitches anymore.
So for the higher pitches and other things, Amra uses guest artists. It's his mother-in-law, Ayunjar, singing the long song in Skystamp. Some of Mongolia's best-known opera singers and other artists have also made cameo appearances on Black Rose's CDs. Black Rose is now something of an institution in Mongolia. Amra and a friend started it as teenagers in 1991, in the heady days just after the Soviets pulled out of Mongolia. Mongolians were embracing democracy and re-embracing their national hero, Genghis Khan. The Soviets had banned mention of Genghis, still resenting his destruction of Russia and wanting to prevent any surges of Mongolian nationalism. Amra, who'd been punished as a student for praising Genghis, was right out in front once the restrictions were lifted. Black Rose may have the distinction of offering the first rap tribute to Genghis Khan. Many Mongolians believe he was not a bad man, he just had bad press.
Not only Westerners, but even Mongolians didn't have the right idea about Genghis Khan. 15 years ago, there was a strong propaganda about how bad a person he was. That was, the society was like that. If you say something, say, have nationalistic pride, you'd be in trouble. when I was interviewed, I said I worship Genghis Khan, and then some of young people of my age said, you are saying strange things. Later, in 10 years later, they approached me and said, our development was just slower than yours by 10 years.
Amra's hero worship of Genghis Khan extends to wearing some of his long hair in a top knot, like Genghis. He dresses in black leather and silver rings when he's off stage, and in elaborate warrior costumes when he's on. Amra's father and grandfather were both famous choreographers of traditional Mongolian dance, and Amra clearly has their showman genes. He sometimes performs with dozens of costumed dancers on stage. He choreographs the moves, combining hip-hop and traditional Mongolian dance. Black Rose's music, too, combines traditional Mongolian music with rap, house, and hip-hop. Mongolia's is a young, increasingly urban population. Two-thirds of its people are under 30, and half live in cities. Besides getting those Mongolians out on the dance floor, Amra hopes his music helps to instill in them a sense of national pride. He thinks that's important for Mongolia's survival between its two big neighbors, China and Russia.
In my opinion, music is one of the strongest weapons. Back in 1940s, during World War II, Russians were attacked by fascist soldiers, and they were singing songs and marching on Red Square, and that song could hear on every corner of the big Soviet Union. People were breathing for one country, and they would join forces. I will think that my aim of my life is fulfilled, at least a little bit, if Mongolians have a pride for their own country.
It seems they already do. Certainly, the spirit of Genghis Khan is everywhere in Mongolia these days. There are Genghis cafes and Genghis hotels. If someone is generous or brave, a friend might compliment him by saying, "That's mighty Genghis-like of you." And when Mongolians were recently required to choose a last name, which few had before, most chose the name of Genghis Khan's tribe. In the midst of all this, it's no surprise that Black Rose's tribute to Mongolia's past glory has staying power, not to mention a danceable beat. For the world, I'm Mary Kay Magstad, Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia.
Black Rose from Mongolia ends our program today. I'm Lisa Mullins in Boston. Join us online at theworld.org and have a great weekend.